Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here, knowing that we certainly hopingly and certainly believe that you're coming soon, Lord, and we're just getting our lives ready. And help us, Lord, to get sweet in our spirit and not be contentious with one another, but rather just put our whole focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I'm going to speak, this will be Satan's Eden 228, and I'm going to be speaking on the wrong seed will have a wrong motivation. And so we're going to find this from Scripture. Now Romans 10:1-10 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel." Notice Paul was rejected by the Jews, but he's praying for them. You hear that? All right. That they might be saved. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, I believe we can say the same thing about all the believers in the message. Our prayer is that all might be saved, yet we know otherwise, that not all who say, "Lord, Lord," shall be saved. But we still want to pray for the people that we know. And so then Paul tells us why they won't be saved. He says, "For they, being ignorant of God's right-wiseness," that the word righteousness is right-wiseness, "and going about to establish their own right-wiseness, have not submitted themselves unto the right-wiseness of God." In other words, look, I don't care what the prophet says. He said, "All that I teach is according to what Paul taught." Now, if you're going to fuss with something, just put it on the shelf, like Brother Bale said, put it on the shelf, and someday God will reveal to you the scriptures that Brother Branham's referring to, okay? You see, in Daniel 12 and verse 10, we read, "The righteous," that's the rightly wise, "will understand at the end time." And of course, it actually, if you want to read the whole thing, it says, "The wicked will not understand, but the righteous will understand at that day," okay? And we're told that no man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. All right, that's 1 Corinthians 2. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 12, or 10 to 14. "But God hath revealed unto us," God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, "for the Spirit," that's God's Spirit, there's only one the Spirit, and that's God, "for the Spirit," and if his Spirit's in you, then you know, and what we're talking about is life, okay? "For the life searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him," or the life of man, the life that's in the man knows him, okay? "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows," okay? "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak." Now, I've read this probably, can you say 100 times maybe? But I just want to read it again because I want you to understand by Scripture how there's a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous, they look to thus saith the Lord and nothing else, okay? In other words, they don't have their own opinion. They don't care what another preacher says. They don't care what anybody says, what their wife, what their husband, whatever. If it's not thus saith the Lord, then just forget, okay? So, "Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches." I didn't learn it from school. I didn't learn it from a preacher. I didn't learn it from my parents or whoever, "but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You see, William Branham, as a prophet of God, is different from just a normal, you know, like Aaron and Miriam were certain type of prophets also. Joseph and Rebecca and them are just certain type of prophets, but they're not the prophet that... See, God said, he said, "I will speak through a prophet through dreams and visions, and I'll speak lip to ear, but with my servant Moses, it's not so. I will speak mouth to mouth. So when his mouth is moving, that's actually, he's the voice of God to us, okay? That's why I want you to forget all that you know, all that you think you know, and receive what he says and just, you know, find it in the scripture, okay? Because he said he's not saying anything that's not. See, Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other thing than what I've already told you, let him be accursed. So Brother Branham could not come and preach something new. And the angel that came to Brother Branham couldn't tell him something new because Paul's already said it, all right? So this is a time when the Bible says the ears of the children, or the heart of the children shall be turned to the hearts of the fathers. You know that? Well, what is that word heart? All right. The word heart means the understanding. Okay. So so the understanding of the children, that's us, will be returned to the understanding of the Pentecostal fathers of old. Okay. But the natural man, it says, and that's the man that's not born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we know that only a certain ones are ordained to receive God's word, and others, it is said, in such a way as to make them ponder over it. So Matthew 13:10 tells us, Jesus speaking, and the disciples came and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Remember, he comes to make known that which was hidden, but he's making it known to a certain people, okay? Now, for whosoever hath, that's echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Why do you have more abundance? Because you're echoing. You're saying it over and over and over again. See, if you just push play, you're not saying it. You're not learning it. Because you don't know if you know it. But if you speak it, you have to think it. Then if you think it, now you've got to put in your own words what he's saying. So you've got to line up your thinking with his thinking. Otherwise, if you just push play, you don't know if you're getting it or not. You think you do. You're just doing a religious act, but the prophet never said, play what I say. He said, say what I say. The apostle Paul didn't say, well, I wrote this down. Now, read what I read. He said, say only what I say. And if an angel comes from heaven and says anything different, don't believe it. Okay, so it's all about speaking. And in order to speak, you have to think. And in order to think, you know, you've got to, you know, our languages are words. And you've got to organize those words into a functional means so that you can re-speak them. Because if you haven't heard it and recognize it, you know, formulation in your mind, then you can't speak it. So it's hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word of God, okay? For whosoever echoes, to him shall be given. See, you see why echoing is so important? See why speaking the word to each other is so important? See why saying the quotes is so important? And he shall have more abundance, but whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that he thinks he hath. He who pushes play, from him shall be taken away what he thinks he has. He doesn't say it. That's why the prophet was very, very strong in saying, say what I say. Say only what I say. That's what he said. Say only what I say. He didn't say play it. Okay? Now, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So it's all about understanding. Now, I know Brother Branham told some people, he said, well, you don't have to understand it, you just have to believe it. Well, didn't he also tell us that to receive the Holy Ghost, he said, you believe unto? You know, you don't get the Holy Ghost when you believe, you get the Holy Ghost, you know, after believing. All right. So after believing, it's formulating your mind, it's causing your body to come into actions. It's all these things. And so the importance of understanding, Brother Branham said, when God says, that, you know, they don't hear, he says they're actually hearing mentally, but he says, but they're not understanding it. Brother Branham said, here is to understand. So you can't do away with it. Daniel said that the wise will understand in the last days, okay? So you have to have this understanding, okay? The spirit of wisdom comes down in Ephesians 1, 17, 18. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church. So we, if God didn't come down with a message, we wouldn't know a thing. We'd be like the rest of the people, all confused about, is the economy going to work out? Is it not going to work out? Is Russia going to bomb us? Is it not going to bomb us? We'd be scared to death, but now we have everything under control. We know that God told us that we would have an American Pope, didn't he? All right, so what are we worried about? If you know, God came down with a shout to instruct us, okay? So we're being instructed. And you know, the people said, well, you know, will someone else come and be the voice? No. God doesn't do anything, but he reveals it through his servants, the prophets. So the prophet has to come back. There has to be a return. I don't say return ministry like they all do. I just say there has to be a post-resurrection ministry, just like Jesus had a post-resurrection ministry, just like Moses and Elijah are going to have a post-resurrection ministry, okay? And so... So anyway, you cannot have right wiseness on your own. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the way thereof is the ways of death. You've got to come by, thus saith the Lord, and you don't have it, but God, prophet, had it, and he gave it to us, and we receive what he said, okay? So in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, but shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand them with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So your eyes are different from their eyes. Why do we preach in parables to them? Because to them it's not given. To you it's given. You understand? It's all about election. All about election. All right. So from unveiling of God, Brother Bram said, and each time, if you who take the tapes and listen... So these are people taking the tapes and listen. And I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding. But see, they say, well, we don't need to understand. We just need to believe. Well, of course you believe the prophet, and you might not understand everything he says. But, you know, when you're in 12th grade, you certainly have a greater understanding than you had in first grade. So, you know, you're going to believe until you understand. Otherwise, you say, well, I believe. And what are you believing? Well, I don't know what I'm believing, but I believe. That don't work. That don't cut it with God. You better know what you're believing. And each time, if you take the tapes and listen, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See? It's a thing sometimes. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. Yeah, it's done that. A lot of people said, we believe the sign, and now they don't believe the sign anymore. It might bring some to go out, some even to leave, and some to even ponder over. But that's done purposely. It's done. It must be done that way. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? God has actually given you his spirit so that you can understand the things that God said. All right? So, you see, this word is not for everybody. Notice Jesus said there are those who would hear but would not understand. And Brother Bram said it purposely said this way, in such a way as to make some go out to leave, to thin down and to ponder over. Does God do that on purpose? Well, yet we are told in Daniel that the righteous will understand in the last days. And when Paul says they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge, and then in verse 3 he says, for they being ignorant of God's right wiseness. You see, if you just believe God sent a prophet, I'm sorry, but you're like one of the 2 million people that were lost under, because they believed Moses was the prophet. They even followed Moses. They even followed the pillar of fire, and they were lost. And if you don't see the type, then you're not even born again, all right? Because it's just plain as a nose on your face. We are a select people. God has a select people. Now, I'm not just saying this church. I'm saying those who believe the message, okay? Those who believe what he said. I mean, why would God send a prophet with a message and you say, oh, that's nice, and continue on doing what you're doing? You know, it's there to shake you up and to get you to rethink your position in life. All right? For they being ignorant of God's right wiseness, God's thus saith the Lord, are going about to establish their own right wiseness, or their own mouth, their own doctrine, their own creeds, their own churchianity. And they have not submitted themselves unto the right wiseness of God. They have not submitted themselves unto the doctrinal teaching that the prophet brought. In other words, they haven't come to a place that they are willing to count their own right wiseness as nothing, their own intellectual conception as nothing, and accept thus saith the Lord, which is the right wiseness of God. Because after all, thus saith the Lord is what the Lord himself has said thus. Now, you don't have any problem saying, well, we know that denominationalism is a mark of the beast. So, you know, the Lutherans, the Baptists, all these people claiming to be Christians today, we don't have a problem saying, well, they're not going to make it. But we have a problem saying, well, there's a lot of people in the message that are not going to make it. Why can't you come to that grip? Why can't you grip that and say they are not going to make it? There's only going to be a very few people that are going to make it. Now, look, I don't claim I'm believing for us that we're all going to make it, but I don't know who's going to make it, okay? It's going to be a very few number. But even if it's one in a million in the world, that'd be 8,000 people, one in a million. Well, what if it's only one in a million of Christianity today? It's about 1.5 to 2 billion people. That means 1,500 to 2,000 people going to make it. That's really hoping. But what if it's only one in a million out of the 2.5 million people in the message that follow the message? Then that means that only 2.5 of us are going to make it. So don't be so pompous that you think everybody that believes the message, claims the message, is going to believe it. If there was 17 different versions, Brother Branham said, when he took that trip from Arizona and he was killed in Texas, 17 versions when he was still alive, how many different versions do you think there is today? Come on. When we get churches that say, we've got a doctrine, you take your shoes off when you come into the church because this is holy ground, and then somebody steals all their shoes, you know. When we got people that have, we believe in the seven thunders, and seven men are going to come and bring it, well, or we believe that the voice is the voice in the bride, and she's going to bring forth the resurrection, come on, do it. You can't do it. Or we believe that the bride is God, okay, that eliminates about a lot of people. I won't say how many, but it just eliminates a lot of people. They think, we're God now. How can you be God? You can't even heal the hangnail on your finger. Why do you think your fingers look chewed up? Because you can't do it. I am not God, and you are not either. We're sons of God. We have his spirit in us, but we have the frailties of humanity. And we deal and cope with that every day. I hate myself as a human flesh, but I love the spirit that's in me. I love the fact that God has opened his word to me and I can understand his word. I can see place things that are happening. I love that fact to me, but I hate this corpse, okay? But I'm going to have a new one day, and it's going to be commensurate with the spirit that's in me. Now, because after all, thus saith the Lord is what the Lord himself has said. Remember, he spoke lip to lip with the prophet. So don't question the prophet, say, well, he was a Trinitarian back here, but now he's a oneness here. Don't think that. He was using words that drive you out, to make you ponder over, to cancel you out, really, because you're not part of it. All right? And he wants to see who's obedient and who will receive what God says, even though you don't understand that particular thing, but you will have an understanding. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I didn't have an understanding, but I had to believe. And that's who we said it to. I know a couple people that were teenagers when he said it to them. You have to believe. When I was a child, I didn't understand how the electricity in the building works. If you flip the switch, it's going to go on. I just knew. I believed it would. But I didn't know enough to wire it myself. But I got older and I learned how to wire a house. And I taught my children at an early age. And Elizabeth wired my basement in my house. Did a good job. And I taught, you know, Chrissy some how to sheetrock and stuff. And so, you know, I wanted my children to learn and not just be dependent on dad to do everything for them. I want them to be able to do it for themselves, okay? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, right wiseness. To everyone that believeth. See, there you go. For Moses describeth the right wiseness, which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. Okay. So I don't know, I don't understand why God gave us the Ten Commandments, but I believe those Ten Commandments, and I actually, they're simple enough that I can live by them. Then, as I get older and more mature, I understand why God gave us those Ten Commandments. But the righteousness, the right wiseness, which is of the faith, revelation, speaketh on this wise. So righteousness is going to speak. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what saith it? What saith the word that's in you? What saith the righteousness? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, revelation, which we speak. In other words, you've got it. You might not know how it works. You might not understand the difference in mechanics and dynamics, but you know that the dynamics on the mechanics works. You might not understand the carburetor and the gas and how the engine is set up to time it and everything else, but you know that it works. You believe it? Or who shall ascend? Okay, but what saith the word is neither even in thy mouth? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know how God's going to save me. I don't know when he's going to do it, but I know he's already done it. I don't know how my right leg is going to recover, but I believe by his stripes I am healed. It's a done thing. I don't need to know how God's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it because he said he's going to do it. For with the heart man believeth unto right wiseness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You think you can be saved by pushing play? It doesn't say that. It says with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to say it. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. You've got to say it. People think they can sit and occupy a pew, never say a thing about what God is doing for them. They think they've got it. They don't have it. And the reason they don't have it is because they don't even understand it. Now, there are eight things we should consider when we look at this scripture that we just read. They have a zeal, but it is not according to knowledge. Whose knowledge? God's knowledge. Their zeal is according to their own knowledge, and they're wrong. How many times have you ever done something, and boy, you blew it? That was your own right wiseness, okay? And so when you surrender that thing to God, then God takes care of it. All right? Two, the people are actually ignorant of God's right wiseness. They don't know. They don't study the message. I used to give people in this church a test of 20-point quiz. Were you ever in the church when I did that? Okay, that was in Kentucky. And I gave maybe two or three of them. In fact, I had a brother tell me just recently, he said he still has the quizzes that I gave. And I remember Sister Helena coming up to me after taking the first test. And the first test was all these different words, you know, like apocalypse, fanaru, you know, all these things that Brother Brown, you know, the dokes and all, what do they mean? And she got one wrong. I don't remember which one she got wrong. She probably remembers this day. But she came up to me and said, well, I got one wrong, but give me the test in 2 weeks and I'll have it right. You see, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because I'm saying what he said. I'm doing what he said to do. That's why I'm not going to be ashamed. That's why I know that my sermons, when they're played back at the white throne, I only said what he said. That's my comfort, to know that I'm only teaching what he said. I'm only preaching what he said. I don't have my own creed, my own doctrine. I have nothing. Now, if I had a creed or doctrine, I tell you what, this church would be plumb full. Oh, yeah. If I had some idiot doctrine of my own, I'd have all kinds of people around the world that have that same idiot doctrine, and they cling to me or cling to this church. Yeah, look at any ministry that does that. They're all packed because you got a bunch of like-minded people. But we are Christ-minded if the Spirit of Christ is in us. But they go to establish their own right wiseness, their own creeds, their own dogma. See, therefore, he said, we must confess with our mouths. Oh, wow. We must confess with our mouth. We don't just push play. I've shown you, if you just go to Google, type in the words in parentheses, push play, and Nike and Sanyo and Samsung, and everybody uses it as a marketing gimmick. That's right. And God's word is not to be marketed. Number five, and believe in our heart. That's where it starts. That's where it all begins. Because, because with the heart, or the understanding, man believes unto, isn't that what the scripture says, unto righteousness? So if you don't, if you haven't reached this place of understanding what you're saying, righteousness, because to do right is called righteousness, if you haven't come to this place, you're still believing unto. But with the mouth we make our confession, which brings us to salvation. So, in other words, when you come to the place that you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and speak it, God does something for you. With the mouth we make our confession, which brings us to salvation. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be confounded. In other words, your mind is pure. You know what he said. You believe what he said. That's it. Your mind is not muddled. Like Brother Vail said, our minds are muddy. The people's minds are muddy. They've got this and they got that, and they put it together like they're making some type of a drink. You know, put it in the blender of your mind and blend it all together, and now you've got mud. All right? I'm speaking kind of tough this morning, but I hope you understand it. I'm not condemning you people. I'm just saying what people do in general. Now, from the Church Age book, chapter 9, the Laodicean Church Age, page, or paragraph 95, be zealous and repent. Now, this false church has a zeal. Make no mistake about that. Her zeal has literally been that of the Jews. John 2:17, the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up. So they've got a zeal. Look at these big churches that have programs. You know, they got choirs, they got bands, they got 10 preachers in every church, you know, and they got deacons that preach, and they got all these things, and they got hundreds and thousands of people, and they're zealous. But it says, but it is a wrong zeal. It is for the house of their own building. It is their own creeds, their own dogmas and organizations, their own right wiseness. They have put the word out from their own ideas. Wow. They deposed the Holy Ghost and made men into leaders. I remember years ago in New Zealand, they were telling me that there was a church that claimed the message. But they handed the books out to the people, but before they did, the pastor went through and clipped out what he didn't want them to hear and put the rest of it together and then printed it and said, hey, here's the message book. Yeah, that's what they did. Now, I don't know if they're still doing it, but that was 20-some years ago. But God is calling for another zeal. Excuse me. They deposed the Holy Ghost and made men into leaders. They have put aside eternal life as a person and make it good works, or even church conformity rather than good works. Have you ever been to a church where it was church conformity? Well, if you conform to all their isms and stuff, then you had it. I remember going into a UPC church. And the guy said, oh, have you spoken in tongues? And I said, yeah, I've spoken in tongues. You know why? Because I could say certain words in French, and I could say it in Spanish, and I could say it in Russian. So I spoke in tongues. And he said, well, then you got it, brother. And I said, no, I don't have it yet. I said, Jesus said to Peter, who followed Jesus for 3.5 years, believe, or strength, or he said, converted. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So Peter didn't have it then, but he got it later. I knew I didn't have it yet, but I knew I was going to get it. So I knew that even though he'd spoken in tongues, Balaam's donkey spoke in tongues. I didn't know that. And I thought, well, Balaam's donkey certainly didn't have the Holy Ghost. Witch doctors certainly don't have the Holy Ghost. Just because you speak in tongues and say Honda Mashunda doesn't mean that you got anything but you're naming a few cars. Honda Mashunda, Toyota, Datsun, you know, and so you name 4 different cars there. So you're just praying for a new car. That's all you're doing, okay? All right. But God is calling for another zeal. It is a zeal to cry, I am wrong. Now, who's going to say that he's wrong? What sister in here is going to say that you're wrong? What brother in here is going to say that you're wrong? But the Holy Ghost will, you'll admit when you're wrong. What is it that all these denominations are based upon? And why do we have to be so proud that we got to be right? When God's word says one thing, we say another, we are wrong, period. Why do we then fight over that issue and say, well, I'm right and you're wrong because my feelings were hurt? It has nothing to do with feelings. Nothing to do with feelings. What is it that all these denominations are based upon? The claim to originality and that of God. They claim that they are right. Now, they all cannot be right. In fact, not one of them is right There's not, no, not one. Remember what he said? There's none that is righteous. No, not one. Wow, that means me too. That's why we live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, because it's his revelation, not ours. It's his faith, not ours. All right? So there's none righteous. No, but if we're in Christ, then we are righteous. We are the righteousness of Christ, okay? Now, when it comes to the message, there was only one man that worked with Brother Branham and said, you ministers and laity, Brother Branham said, if you ministers and laity, if you have any questions concerning the message, ask Lee Vail. Did they do it? No. So they've accepted their own righteousness of what is right, but it's not what God considers to be right. And so by accepting their own intelligence, they make God a liar. Well, how did I make God a liar? Because you're disagreeing with him. Therefore, you're saying he's lying. I'm not. I'm telling you, if you're doing that, you're in serious trouble. And by saying that they're right and thus God is wrong, they are thus calling God a liar. It's like I was talking to the man. I know you've heard the story 100 times. I'm going to tell it again. And he said, well, Brother Branham was wrong. And I said, where did you get your vindication? Whoa, that hurts. Well, actually, I mean, the reason why he's wrong is because there's no scripture for it. And I know, brother, sister, that anything the prophet said, I can find it in scripture. And so the brother said, well, there's no scripture for it. I said, let me give you three scriptures. I gave him three scriptures. He said, well, I still don't believe it. I said, well, that's because you're an unbeliever. And he said, well, that's not very nice. And I said, well, you said you don't believe it. Therefore, you called yourself an unbeliever. That's tough talking, but you know what? It's accurate. If you don't believe it, you're an unbeliever. All right? They are white as sepulchres, full of dead men's bones. They have no life. They have no vindication. God has never made himself known in any organization. They say they are right because they are the ones that are saying it. But just saying it doesn't make it so. Haven't you ever heard that expression before? Just because you say it doesn't make it so. They need the vindicated, thus saith the Lord of God, and they don't have it. From the Church Age book, that's why they hate the Church Age book so much. From the Church Age book, resume of the churches of the ages. Thus, at this very moment, we are in the complete fulfillment of Matthew 24:24, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elected, because they will come quoting the prophet. And even, listen, can I say this again? Even some of the messages, the punctuation is wrong. If your punctuation is wrong, it's a jot or tittle, is that right? And that's what they fought over the Jewish Hebrews about, the jot and tittle. You know why the jot and tittle is so important? I've given you the example before, but I'm going to give you another example this morning. Basically, the women put the paragraph, or put the little parentheses, I mean the comma, after women, and the men put it after men. So when the men read the same sentence that the women read the same sentence, it says, you know, basically we're men and we don't need women. And the women read it, and it says that without women, the men, you know, wouldn't have it right, or something like that. So anyway, you know, it was the same words. Like I've told you, you know, a person could say, well, that woman is sure beautiful. And because there's an exclamation point, then you can say, yeah, he's thinking that she's beautiful. But what if you say, that woman, she's beautiful? I mean, you said the same words, but you put the question mark at the end. So you see, how you say things, how you transcribe, how you do these things, if you don't know what's being said, you're going to get it wrong. That's what I'm trying to say. And who is it that shall attempt to deceive the very elect? Why, the spirit of Antichrist in the false anointed ones of this last day. These false ones have already come in Jesus' name. Sounds good. Claiming that they have been anointed of God for the last days. They are the false messiahs, anointed ones. They claim that they are prophets. But are they one with the word? Never. How many times has Brother Vail used to say the Pentecostal notion, you know, I did this and I did that and I did this and God showed me this and I did this. Forget it. Brother Vail had a gift to discern, but it wasn't 100%. Brother Branham told him it's not 100%, leave it alone. He did. Why can someone say, well, God showed me this, I did this, God? Forget it. Who are you? Who are you? You know, we hear of people that, oh, I predicted that the President Trump would be a two-term president. And yet, you know, they made it sound like he's going to get in there a second term, and he didn't. All right? So who are you? Well, he did again. Oh, that vindicates me. Yeah, 4 years you weren't vindicated, right? Trump is not your savior. He's doing a lot of things, brother, sister, that are wrong, as well as he's doing some things that are right. That doesn't make him the greatest president ever. Well, he's a good president, but he's not the greatest ever. He's not a man of God. He claims to hang around with the church, and you know what? He'll use them as a narcissist. He'll use them as long as he needs them, and then when he doesn't need them anymore, he'll have them boycotted. So don't think that Trump is your savior. Jesus Christ saves, okay? But are they one with the word? Never. As years ago, Trump's son wrote me a letter, very kind of nasty. I've written to you so many times and you don't even send money. And I said, and he says, how are you going to make America great again? I said, brother, your dad never made America great. He's got homosexuals in the administration. You think God is pleased with that? I don't think so. So get your facts straight. And of course, he never wrote me back after that because he knows where I stand. But they've added to it or they've taken from it. Just because a man says, well, I love Jesus, doesn't make him a Christian. Look at their life. A Christian is Christ-like. No one denies that the Spirit of God manifesting in gifts is upon them. But like Balaam, they all have their own programs, make their appeal for money. Yeah, that's all the time. Why do they keep sending me things, ask you for money? Every time they write, it's all about money, and I just erase it. Can't get them off. I don't know why. I go to my thing and delete that number from my, you know, I don't, I mean, if they call me, they can't get through because I've got them on delete. But I wish you could have that same thing with text, okay? But, so they send it and I just delete them. It's all about money. You believe that we're going to make America great again. Send $5, send $50, send $100, send $250. You know what? Why do you need the money? You're already in office. You ever ask yourself that? Why these men, they're already in office. Why do they need more money? I don't even think it's a man himself doing it. I think it's a bunch of people in the GOP that are money hungry and they just want to build up their coffers. But like Balaam, they all have their programs, make their appeal for money, exercise gifts, but deny the word or bypass it for fear that a controversy might diminish their chances of greater gain. It's like what's going on right now with this so-called Epstein fiasco. You know, Dan Bongino and I don't remember the Indian fella, Cash Patel, they were bragging before they got elected into office, you know, or chosen. Well, we're going to take that Epstein file. We're going to get the Bill Gateses and all these people on it. And now all of a sudden they just, you know, hey, Amen. Now, I don't know what President Trump's reasoning for not going into it is. I think I do. I think because if he exposes all the rich people, the Saudi family, the UK royal family, Gates and Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg, you notice all of, since about a month or 2 months after Trump was elected, all of a sudden Mark Zuckerberg's wearing the mega hat. And Bezos contributed $500 million to, some big party or something. They're all, I don't know what the right word to say is, but they're all becoming accommodating to the things Trump's doing. You know, you don't hear from the Prince of England, whose brother is, was on the list. You don't hear him dissing Trump anymore. He's staying out of it. You don't hear the Saudi royals who contributed $3 to $5 billion or $1 trillion to the economy saying anything against him. No, they're all kind of, I tell you why. Because if Trump allows these people to be prosecuted, then his economy goes down. His big plans go down. But if he doesn't do anything and has his people say, well, there's no list, when they already told us there is, then they got to eat egg on their face, but that's only two guys, maybe three with Bondi. But now they say, well, Trump's name is on it. Well, you know what? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You don't know that, so don't say it is. I know it was recorded with his wife and his son going from New York to Florida a couple of times. But I think if he was a righteous king, he'd say, look, if we expose these people now, we're going to get the satisfaction of seeing these people go to jail, and we're going to tank the economy. The world is going to go into a super depression, and it's over. Or we can say, we're not going to do anything, and God is going to take care of them at the white throne, because they'll get judgment. They can't run. They can't hide from God. We know that Diddy got off with only two slaps on the hand, and he didn't have the lawyers that these rich people, these billionaires, have. So if Trump would have said that, then people could still say, okay, these guys are guilty. And so they would receive the spurn socially, knowing that God will one day take care of it. And for now, we want to keep the economy. That's all I can say. I don't agree with it. If I was there, I would probably say the wrong thing, because I would say I don't care about the economy. We know what, because we see, we got a prophet told us it's going to be a depression. So we know it. So let's just get it on. All right. That's what I would do. But I'm not him. So that's what I think is going on. So if that eases your mind any, it doesn't really, it just shows you, look, if I can't beat them, I'll join them. So I'll become the head of the elites, and I'll manipulate the elites into accepting all of my programs. And that's what I think is going on. Now, I could be wrong, but I believe that's what's going on. Will Trump have to answer at the White Throne? Oh, yeah, he'll have to answer for that. But that's what I think is going on. So get all that stuff out of your mind and just focus on Christ, okay? But because they are wrong seed, consequently they have wrong spirit motivating them. Doesn't the scripture say, had the princes of this world knew, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory? But they don't know. And therefore, because they don't know, They have a wrong spirit motivating them. Wrong seed, wrong motivation. That's what I'm trying to bring out this morning. Religious, oh my, they outshine the elect in effort and zeal, but it is Laodicea. Not of Christ, for it looks for big crowds, big programs, and startling signs amongst them. We've got the big, the super big, the super big, 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 big plan. Yeah, well, what's it going to get you? It's going to get you the same things the prophet said. Russia's going to destroy you. All right? Religious, oh my. I saw a thing on the internet this week. It had a picture of these people all laying hands on Trump, and the woman who was divorced in 2007, and she went to Europe, you know, with Benny Hinn. She was the first one. She was in front of Trump laying hands on him. And, yeah, religious. Oh, my. They outshine the elect in effort and zeal, but it is Laodicea, not of Christ, for it looks for big crowds, big programs, and startling signs amongst them. Now, once in a while, I'll watch one of those so-called teachers, and they sound good, about 99% of what they say, but there's always a curveball, they say, that trashes the whole sermon. They preach the second coming of Christ, but deny the advent of the prophet messenger. Now, I'm still reading from Brother Branham's here. Though in power and signs and true revelation, he eclipses them all. And yes, this false spirit that is in the last days is so close to the real can be distinguished only by its deviation from the word. You would think that the prophet of God would have had a mega church if what these guys are doing is right. But he had about 300 people in that church. And they had to actually rebuild it to make it so it'll hold 350 to 375 if you put another row in the aisles. Yeah. And, oh yes, this false spirit that in the last days is so close to the real can be distinguished only by its deviation from the word. And whenever it is caught in being anti-word, it falls back on the one argument we have already shown that is false. We get results, don't we? We have to be of God. Well, what kind of results are you looking for? And yet I see hundreds and even thousands of people flock to these ministries, and yet they are all false. And the people do not even know that they're sitting under a false ministry. They would give their life believing it is all true, and they're believing a lie and will be damned by it. No wonder a vindicated prophet was in tears when he and Brother Vail were watching a special on Oral Roberts, and Brother Branham turned to Brother Vail and said, I could have had all of that. They were showing like the university and the medical center and all. I could have had all of that, but I wouldn't compromise on what God told me to say. Yeah. So do not think numbers shows you are blessed. And so don't think having a lot of money shows you are blessed. Just look at who God has given it to, and then you will know he gives you just what you have need of. From the church and its condition, Brother Brown said, now, I'm not talking to you strangers. I don't know what your pastor. I'm talking to the Branham Tabernacle. So what's he going to say to the Branham Tabernacle? He says, I ain't talking to you people from other churches. I'm talking to the Branham Tabernacle. That's what's the matter around here. That's what makes a dove, that's what's the matter around here. That's what makes a dove take its flight. Just let somebody just start a little something around the church, and the first thing, oh, is that so? In other words, the ears prick up. Hey, there's some gossip that'll grease my joints. Oh, you don't mean so. Right then the Holy Ghost flies away. It just can't stand that kind of a spirit. Well, did you know that cousin so-and-so said this about this person? Oh, just let me hear more of it. And you don't realize right there the Holy Spirit left you. It just can't stand that kind of a spirit. As long as that lamb nature leaves you, then the Holy Ghost is gone. That's thus saith the Lord. That's right. And that's what's the matter today. That's the reason the people is in the condition they are, is because they let the wrong spirit come into their heart, into their life. Now that's the reason we got, the Bible said, that's the reason there's so many sick and afflicted among you, is because of such things. We must be gentle. We must be peaceful. We must be a lamb so that the dove can abide with us. Now, I might sound like I'm preaching pretty tough, but this is what the prophet said. Either you believe it or you don't. Don't say, well, Brian, he's just a bad actor. No, I'm just saying what he said. That's my defense. I always say what he said. That's what my defense is. From we would see Jesus, he said, then when he appeared on the earth in his ministry again, we find him being baptized by John the Baptist and into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation. Out of the wilderness he came, and immediately he began to pray for the sick. Now let's see if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then ask the question. We would see Jesus. I'm going to give about 10 minutes here just of the scripture, and you follow the scripture. Then see if the spirit follows the scripture. If any spirit doesn't follow the scripture, it's a wrong spirit. I don't care what so-and-so said. That's right. If it goes beyond this Bible, it's a wrong spirit. If it doesn't get to it, it's a wrong spirit. And by listening to that person, you are opening yourself up to a wrong spirit. And what I show you, spirits are influencers. All right? So if the devil can't keep you from seeing the truth, he will push you overboard with it. You see? That's his business. See? If he will go off onto some fantastics, or either he will keep you from seeing it at all. But to stay right straight on Calvary, it'll always come right back to the Word every time. It's the Word. From baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Ram said, all in the little textbooks, man-made theories, they put them down. That's what we believe, and that's the reason we stay away from it. Now, there isn't one denomination out there that didn't start with a scripture. But they went to seed on that scripture, and they said, we got a period, and we don't believe anything else. And we have no textbook, Brother Brown said, but the Bible. No leading, no bishop, but the Spirit. That's right. And then if there's a wrong spirit that comes in, will try to twist something in there, the Word will untwist it. That's wrong to stay away from it. Excuse me, that's wrong. Stay away from it. See, here comes the Spirit along and says, that's wrong. And it bears record. For our spirit bears record with his spirit. And of course, he's the Word. He'll come one along and saying, oh, we shouldn't. Well, I think it's all right for them to do it, do this, that, and the other. But the Spirit comes along and says, there's something wrong with that. Goes right back to the Bible and brings her right down the way we do. And it's wrong to stay away from it, or just stay away from it. That's the reason the Bible said, here to him that has wisdom, here to he that has knowledge, here's to him that has this, the church there setting in order. Don't you see the great plan of God? Now, a lot of these people that claim to believe the message, you know, some of them, big name in the message, went to Brother James's house, Brother James Phillips' house, and he said, you know, the book that we're, the tablet that we're putting out, what do they call that thing? The tablet that the voice of God puts out. It's got a name to it. It's a tablet that has all of Brother Bram's sermons and stuff.
Table?
Huh? The table? No, it's a book. It's, huh?
A
Yeah, the agape book. You know what he said to Brother James? He said, that agape tablet is the third pull. Well, if you believe that, I've got some land to sell you in Florida. Because we were putting out the tablets before the Voice of God did, about 350 of them, with all the message, and I certainly wasn't putting out the third pull. The third pull is not mine. It's the prophets. So, when you try to make a mechanism, the Holy Ghost, like people, well, we got the tapes, we got the Holy Ghost. No, you got the tapes. You don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. And it's wrong. Stay away from it. That's the reason the Bible said, here's to him that has wisdom. Here's to him that has knowledge. Here's to him that has this. The church, they're setting in order. Don't you see the great plan of God? I was leaving Uganda years ago, about 2006. I was leaving Uganda, and many ministers were calling, and they said to the brothers, well, Brian Kasorik may be right after all, but we don't need to use those quotes and scriptures he's using. And what does the Bible say? Hold fast to that which is good. When you have done all you can do to stand, then just simply stand. Matthew 23:13 says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So what do? They withhold the truth from the people. Like the ministers in Congo, DRC, who claimed to follow my ministry. In fact, many of them were there in 2007 when the three rainbows came. And yet, when the brother whose church that happened over asked me to come down in 2009, they fought against it. Those men in Kinshasa fought against it. And it actually took 3 more years until we could get those meetings arranged because they wouldn't cooperate. And when I came, they didn't even tell their members in their church that I was there. So they withheld the truth from the people. And they claimed to be that I was mentoring them. No, I wasn't. Because I came to the country without coming through them. And so they didn't even tell their own people I was coming. Yeah. They're going to have to answer for that. From without money, without price. But when our Lord puts his chain of love around your heart and pulls you from the ditch of sin, remember that's unbelief, he heals every broken heart and takes away all the sin. And the bills put in the sea of forgetfulness to remember against you no more come without money or without price. No matter how bad you're cut up, how bad you're bruised, how your family's done, or what you've done, there's no bill to it. He heals a heartache, takes away all your sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It's all free. And we won't receive it is because we're dominated by the wrong spirit. We're dominated by a spirit of a nation, the spirit of the world, instead of being dominated by the spirit of God. The Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us all to all truth makes the Bible so. From Super Sign, he said, in your Bible, you said every spirit that does not confess this is the wrong spirit, the Antichrist. Every spirit that doesn't witness this same thing that Christ has come in our flesh is the Antichrist spirit. Again, from position in Christ, don't you see here what he said? That every spirit that confesses that Jesus is not come in the flesh now, right now, is of the wrong spirit. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said then, he is now. He's for always that way. Just listen. From unchangeable God, he said, now, how does he testify of God? He testifies it by the life that he lives in you. By their fruits you are known. You can say, well, Brother Branham, I got the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I believe that too. But if that doesn't follow the experience, then there's something wrong. See, you've got the wrong thing. See, but if you got the real Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues, then the life follows it. And then if you claim you've had the Holy Spirit and had the experience, and then your life doesn't tally up to the word, then you got the wrong spirit, see? Because you can't gather grapes off of a thistle. You know that, see? And by their fruits they are known. For confirmation of my commission, or of commission. Now, that same Holy Spirit, we find it right amongst the Pentecostal people today, the evening light, right down amongst the Pentecostal people. What? Preaching the same gospel, giving vindication of the same gospel. The same signs that follow, there is the same signs that follow now. And if that pillar of fire or that light that we have with us did not produce the same spirit and the same evidence that it did when it was in Jesus Christ, then it would be the wrong pillar of fire, the wrong spirit, be the wrong thing. That's where John 14:12 comes in. If that Spirit of Christ is not the same nature in you, then you don't have the Spirit of Christ. Now, does that mean that I can never vehemently disagree? No, it doesn't. It simply means you show me the word, and then we got to, you know, we can talk. But you should, if you just spout off and say, I don't like that, then good grief, I don't like it either. But that doesn't mean that I've got to accept what you don't like. All right? From taking sides with Jesus, then if you find out, look like something's moving up, or you're just going and you find out it's a little bit off the word, then be careful. No matter how good it looks, stop right there. A wrong spirit struck you, because the message of this day is to the word. From why I'm against organized religion, then I say I had that kind of experience and I got a spirit on me. And if it denies the word in any way, you've got the wrong spirit. Huh? The Bible tells you to act a certain way, you better act a certain way. Well, I know better. I'm tired of this male chauvinism. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, sister, you are wrong. All right. The Bible says you're supposed to have a meek spirit, not a men's spirit. The whole world is showing the women are acting like men. And you know, the sissified men are acting like women. Then I say, what kind of experience do you have? I got, well, and I got a spirit. I got a spirit on me. And if it denies the word in any way, you got the wrong spirit. You say, I can't go for this stuff like this. I know, but our church. Oh, there's a wrong spirit. There's your mark of identification. Cain, your mark. Yes, sir. Or knoweth it not. If that Holy Spirit in you makes you speak with tongues, look back there, and doesn't agree with the rest of the word, then it's a wrong spirit. Huh? You might have spoken with tongues and you're living with two or three women. You got a wrong spirit. It's got to come from the inside, which is the word of God from the beginning. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create and bring you into existence. You see, you started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. Listen, I know people in a certain church that went to palm readers. You think they got the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. And then you were all in Christ. Then when Christ died, you died to redeem all of you, and you are a part of the Word. And how can the Bible, all of its precepts upon precepts, line upon line, here a little, there a little, not one jot or tittle shall fail? How in the world can you, being part of the Word, disagree with the rest of it or any part of it? See, you can't. So you're not the Word. From the Church Age book, the Laodicean Church Age, now God says they are naked as well as blind. I cannot imagine anything as tragic as a man who is blind and naked and doesn't know it. There's only one answer. He is out of his mind. He is already deep in oblivion. Huh? Yeah, like Nebuchadnezzar, his fingernails grew out. He's eating grass like an animal. He was out of his mind. His faculties are gone. Spiritual amnesia has set in. What else can it mean? Can it mean that the Holy Ghost has taken his leave of this last day church? Can it mean that men have put God out of their minds to such an extent that is happening even as stated in Romans 1:28? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient. So how can you claim to be a Christian and pierce your nose, pierce your eyebrows, pierce your belly button, put on tattoos, look like a snake? Men act like women. Women act like men. And you call yourself a Christian? You are not. As I said last week, the make-believers have taken over Christianity and they have taken over the message. Where do we find people who are living every day in alignment with the Word? You'll only find it in this message and only in a few of the believers. Maybe a few hundred, maybe 1,000, I don't know, maybe 2,000. It surely appears that something like that has happened. Here is the people who say that they are of God and know God and have His Holy Spirit, and yet they are naked and blind and don't even know it. Boy, naked, like the king with no clothes on. Can you imagine going out there in the streets today naked and you don't even know it? You have to have a mind that's blown. Can you imagine people, men saying, I'm a woman because I feel like it. You think they've got a mental disorder? I do. That's mental insanity, and the world is full of it. At least 50% of America is, maybe more. They are already deceived and they have the wrong spirit. The elect cannot be deceived, but it is evident that these others are deceived. These are they who become blind because they refuse the Word of God. You see how important the Word is? It's our everything. He came down with a shout, a voice, a trump. Is it going to be three different gods? No. God does all three. Is it going to be a different word for the voice and the trump? No. It's like you can listen to a tape 10 times, and each time you listen to it, you get more from it. That's the way it's going to be. It's the same word. It's the same God. Oh, brothers, it's just that it's now revealed to us more than it was before. Now we've had the shout, and the shout has transformed us and transformed our thinking. Now we're ready for the voice, and you know what? It's the same words. The same God, but we're now prepared people, ready for the Lord. The elect cannot be deceived, but it is evident that these others are. These are they who have become blind because they refused the Word of God. These are they who have stripped themselves naked by leaving God's care and protection and sought to build their own way of salvation, their own Tower of Babel by organization. Oh, how lovely and beautiful dress they appear in their own eyes as they form their general assemblies or their councils, etc. But now God is stripping it all away and they are naked. For these organizations have but led them into the camp of Antichrist, into the field of tares, right up to their binding and burning. Objects of pity indeed they are. Yes, pity them. Warn them, beseech them, and still they go their way headlong to destruction, wrathfully turning away any and all attempts to save them as brands from the fire. Miserable indeed they are, yet they know it. They know it not. Callous and beyond hope, they glory in what is actually their shame. Defiant against the Word, yet one day they shall be judged by the same Word and pay the price of its awful indictments. So don't worry. all the pedophiles in the world will be judged. They'll get their just due. All the girls who were pedophiled, maybe I shouldn't use that word because YouTube would do something here, but all the girls who did those things with those 40 or 50 year old or men that were 40 and 50 years older, why they do it? Well, because they could do the same thing for $100 on the street, or they can go to this guy and get $1,000 or $10,000. So they're going to be guilty of it too. They're not innocent little children. When your child got too close to the fireplace, he learned his lesson quickly. If you touch fire, you get burned by the fire. These people have had it all spelled out. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. The world has played with fire in their sodomite condition, and they're going to be burned. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful that we won't be here. We'll be in that other dimension at the wedding supper, enjoying 3.5 years of glory when the destruction hits the earth. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would be with every one of us, and may we just be so in tune with thy word and memorize everything we can so the Holy Spirit can replay it to our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.